Hello and welcome to Taking Care of Business. I'm Jackie Mitchell. Thanks for joining us. Good to have your company today. As we step up to the challenges of starting and running your own business, as we do business in heels, we talk to a fascinating group of women today about keys to success and keys to failure, what they learned, the mistakes they made, what holds women back, the challenges they face, what pushes them forward. Oh, lots of things to talk about, but we also touch on today a very, very hot topic at the moment, your gut health and its link to your brain. Really fascinating discussion. We've got some wonderful business owners today who are going to very generously share their knowledge. You will certainly enjoy eavesdropping on this conversation. Today's show is made possible by our healthy friends at eView Real Estate. Our first guests have an apt business name that leaves nothing to the imagination, Business in Heels. I'd like to welcome Joe Plummer and Lisa Sweeney back to Taking Care of Business. Hello.
Hello. It's wonderful to be back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good to have you two here. Mm. Now, let's talk about Business in Heels. That's what today's show is all about, and we're talking about women doing business, what pushes them forward, what holds them back. Let's just start with the Business in Heels story. Mm. Tell me a little bit about how long have you been doing it and how did it start?
Mm. Well, Lisa and I actually have known each other for a very long time. We started together as trainee buyers in 1990. And on the first day, we've been lucky enough to travel the world together and remain friends ever since. And together we discovered a fantastic business idea.
Yeah, and I was responsible for taking Jo to the dark side. So in her journey with me, we discovered all sorts of interesting cocktails, which she's never looked back from since.
No, I love the Green Dream.
Is that your favourite one?
Yeah.
So how long ago did Business in Heels for you two, the journey, the business journey start?
So Business in Heels has been operating for 4 years and I got involved in about 3.5 years ago and really loved the concept. And Joe and I were all along we've been chatting because, you know, we've been good friends and we've had kids at the similar time. So we were chatting and we loved the name and we loved the opportunity it presented. And so, yeah, 3 years ago we pitched for the business and bought it and took it on this amazing journey that we're on today.
Mm, absolutely.
And was the business just Australian owned or was it a global brand?
So it was a global brand. So we work across 8 countries and obviously most of our branches and networks are throughout Australia, but certainly, yeah, across 8 countries, international.
So it started in Australia and we have this vision. It's a little one, isn't it?
Just, yeah, global domination, nothing too major.
Yeah. Well, a vision has to be aspirational. It's certainly that. But I think you're well on the way to it. So how much has it grown in the last 3 years, 3 to 4 years that you've been involved?
Yeah, so we had a goal for connecting 100,000 people and having 100 branches. And we hit 100,000 about 3 months ago. So we are so chuffed that we made that milestone. But now we just had to up the ante, don't we?
Of course.
You know, so I think we're saying about 200,000 to get to 100 branches. So, yeah.
Very exciting.
And are there branches all around Australia? And whereabouts in the world? Just explain the concept of the branches and how it works.
The branches work as a location where collaborative communities can form and women can make real business relationships with one another and connect authentically so that they're not trying to do it all by themselves. And it's very important that we do that in the location. We run events in that location and the community grows. And then we connect all those locations up through our website, which is a bit like a LinkedIn for business.
Yeah. What is the website if those interested want to go and have a look?
www.businessinheels.com.
Okay. Easy, easy. So obviously every capital city in Australia has some branches within different areas, but also you look after regional Australia, regional areas as well?
We do. So we've got about 25 branches down the eastern seaboard of Australia. So it's very highly populated down that way.
Yeah,
and has been on a growth trajectory.
So how do you get branches overseas? So tell us a bit about
networking, relationships.
There you go.
So the great opportunity with that is, of course, you know, while people are running events and creating relationships locally, you can absolutely share and scale those internationally through the website and, you know, through Facebook and all the other social media forums that we have. And we also have online networking. And on one of our most recent online events, we actually had people from four countries on the line at the same time, which was fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah, Papua New Guinea to Spain to Canada. We've had people from Israel, all over the place. And so for somebody running another business, a business in Heels branch is great because then they're the centre of their own network. You know, lots of people come to them and share their ideas with them, and they're just like the go-to girl in the local communities. Yeah. It's great.
So if someone's listening and they're interested in starting a Business in Heels branch in whichever country, we go right around the world, listen to this program, or in regional Australia somewhere wanting to start a program, what should they do?
Jump on the website and send us a message. Yeah. Phone us, however you can get in contact, PM us on Facebook. There's lots of different ways that you can get in contact with us, and one of us will actually pick up the phone and talk to you.
And it's women only?
It is, indeed.
Have you ever considered maybe starting a men's version?
At the moment, look, women do it differently, and at the moment we know that for women, equality is not really there, and we really want to see women be successful to get to that equality milestone. And part of what we're trying to do is give people the resources and the opportunities to grow their business, to be engaged, to be inspired, to be educated, to really make a success of it. So when the statistics say that women in business, you know, which is the fastest growing sector, is really successful, then we'll know that they're there. But at the moment, 66% of businesses are still failing in the first 3 years. And so we know that women need more support and more help to get there.
Yeah, now I know that the marketplace is flooded. It's almost a tsunami of networking groups. What makes Business in Heels different?
Look, there's a number of things that make Business in Heels different. We're absolutely about proper networking, which for us is about relationships and creating really authentic relationships with people, creating that trust. The other really interesting thing is our ability to help you scale your business through trade. So we have a platform which is called Exchange on the website, and on that platform you can source, sell or trade your professional goods and services. So you might, for example, you know, be wanting to create a business registration, and so you can go on and have a look for that service, and you might be able to either pay for it, or you might say, well, actually I'm really good at marketing, so if I give you some marketing, can you actually help me out with, you know, registering my business?
So it's like a barter card type.
It could be, but you could also do just a straight transaction as well.
Yeah.
And of course, the other interesting thing is the amplification that we're able to provide for you.
Yeah, and so part of what we offer is marketing services as well for a lot of different businesses, and they can do that through partnering with us for events or partnering with us in nationally. And we, part of what we do is help businesses scale, because for a lot of women, they are only thinking about their own time and filling up everything around their own time and their own opportunities, and that's really limiting. So it means financially they can't be that successful. So what we want to do is women to use the internet and the tools to scale your business and go global. Like, what's stopping you from doing business anywhere in the world? And so part of scaling is also about amplifying your message. So you can look at our trading platform as an extension of your website. We've got thousands of women there, but you can also use some of our other great programs to actually help scale your business. And we've got one awesome program that we really should talk about.
We need to talk about partnering. And I should declare that Taking Care of Business and myself, obviously, as part of Taking Care of Business, is partnering with Business in Heels to exclusively with Business in Heels to really help your business community, businesswomen community, step up.
That is the name of the program.
So tell us a little bit about Step Up, Lisa.
So Step Up's a rare opportunity with very limited places, and it allows people to actually come on to this radio show and be part of the program with Jackie. And Jackie will give you some media training. And along the way, we actually tease out people's stories and their scripts. And we will, as part of Business in Heels, actually help you produce that as a video, which will take to our audience, our collaborative community of more than 60,000 people pre you going on to the radio. So, Jo, do you want to share a bit more about it?
Yeah, so I think it's really an opportunity where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
So by providing a really genuine meaty opportunity with somebody like your program, and, you know, with our expansive community that is all about sharing and creating relationships and getting women's stories out there, people want to connect to people. They don't connect to websites or, you know, necessarily brands and so forth. They connect to people and the relationship. So if you can get your story out there, be heard, showcase yourself as the expert so that you can stand out from other people, then you're home and hosed.
Yes, exactly. And also it's a really good opportunity for any guests that have been on the show, and we've got some guests coming up and we can ask them this question a bit later on the program. But because it is live radio, one of the consistent bits of feedback that I get from guests is, it really made me hone my elevator pitch or my barbecue conversation because you don't have forever to explain who you are, or they'll go back after being live on air, being on the program, go, oh gosh, I just didn't nail it. I didn't realise how much I needed to do. And so they'll go back and they get the podcast as part of this program. Mm-hmm. They get the podcast so they can listen to it, but they can get the podcast to then cross-promote it. So you can use it on social media platforms, a whole range of things. It's a really great opportunity, but it's also great for confidence building, Lisa. I know that we talked about that. It's a really important part of what Business in Heels does.
Yeah, and we see one of the biggest issues that women face is that they're not confident. They're not confident to get out and network. They're not confident to try or price themselves accordingly. And confidence, overcoming these things, which is why step up and stand out is so important. And we have you back, you know, all the way through it. You go through an interview process where we'll tease out the story. You know, we then help you get to the video. We help you, you know, in the radio show. Jackie's amazing. She has your back all the way through. So,
yeah, absolutely. And as you say, confidence is the single biggest thing that holds women back, for sure.
So anyone listening wanting more information, there's a landing page they can go to. And what's that?
That's http .com/.
You know what? I'm going to stop you there.
Yeah.
It's too hard, isn't it?
It is.
So I'm going to put a link. We'll put a link to, if you go to Taking Care of Business Facebook page, we'll put a link to that after today's show, and that'll be all the information on that. But if you wanted more information on Business in Heels, go to businessinheels.com.
Correct.
Easy.
Yep.
Okay, will you two stick around and be my special co-host for the rest of the show?
We would love to.
Absolutely.
Love to have you here, and we're going to talk to some, meet some more amazing women. I haven't checked to see if they're in heels. I'm not in heels today. I've got my flats on because it's a little bit hard running around. Oh, yes. Yes, they're all showing me their heels. We all are doing Business in Heels, exclusively here on Ardor PFM. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are kicking up our heels. That was Jessica Mowboy. It's a new song. I like that. And we certainly are kicking up our heels here and taking care of business as we discuss doing business in heels. But our next guest is doing business in heels, but she's also doing business about healing. Said the pun with the word. I should have actually excused my use of puns. I love puns. And Business in Heels has lots of puns to do. But she is doing business about healing. She's an author, a speaker, an entrepreneur, and really is taking the world by storm with her business, The Healthy Gut. Rebecca Coombs, welcome back.
It's wonderful to be back, Jackie.
I always like seeing your lovely face. Now, your gut health, it's a really hot, hot topic at the moment. It seems to be this newfound thing, isn't it? And I know with Insight, which on recently they did a show on the gut feeling, and they had Michael Mosley on there. Pete Evans has stuck his nose in. There's all sorts of celebrities getting into the bandwagon, and also neuroscientists and psychologists and nutritionists and dietitians. It's everywhere. The field's exploding. So why is it exploding so much? What's the big deal about it?
I think it's really coming down to research that the gut has been like the great unknown. It's almost like deep space.
Yes.
Really interestingly, they can only keep alive outside of the gut 40% of the organisms that live within it. So 60% of what's living in our gut is unknown to us today. That is incredible. It's like the deep space or deep sea. We really don't know what's happening inside of us. But the research they have done is starting to show some very interesting things, that our gut health can dictate our mood. So it can have a very big influence on anxiety and depression, but it can also impact our weight. So those that find it very difficult to lose weight are often lacking in certain microorganisms living within them that are there to help you stay slim. So it's fascinating. And they can see that the gut is like the second brain, and the gut does talk to the brain.
It does talk to the brain. It's a real paradigm shift, in particularly in neuroscience, about it. And they've described it, and I was reading about it recently, and they called it the, like, upstairs and downstairs. You know, remember that show, Upstairs, Downstairs? So upstairs being the brain and the head, and the downstairs being the gut brain. But you mentioned that 60% is unknown. The other little bit of information, which I'm already, you know, so I'm telling you what you know, but the listeners that may not know, and I didn't know this, that the gut has its own nervous system, the enteric nervous system, and has the same amount of neurons as the spinal cord. And that is around 400 to 600 million neurons. And that's why it's led to so much interest in this area.
It's absolutely fascinating, and we're only at the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
So the research that's coming out and that will continue to come out over the next 10, 20 years will be astounding, and it will change the way we treat people medically. And I'm really excited about that. And I know that when I look back in 20 years' time, we'll all be aghast at how little we knew.
Yeah, well, it is. It is a bit like Galileo back in the day. I think someone compared it to that. Now, we talked about the gut affecting behaviour, affecting cognition, affecting your mood. And I did read somewhere, and I know there's been some research, but that, as I said, it's early days, that yogurt actually improves your mood and can help with anxiety. It's proven to do that. Research has actually said, so you're feeling a little bit down or you're having a low mood, have some yogurt. Apparently it's supposed to help. Certainly doesn't help with depression. I think their research to date hasn't actually made that connection yet. Have you heard about that with yogurt?
Do you know, I haven't, but I think the key thing with yogurt is that if we are going to eat yogurt, we need to use the most natural version of yogurt, not something that's full of all the sugars and the fruits, that's been artificially sweetened, that's been artificially thickened, because that can actually be highly irritating to the gut. If you want to eat yogurt, going for just a plain Greek style yogurt that's got a good diversity of bacterial cultures in it, or you can make your own, which I do now, because then you know exactly what's in it. You can go and get beautiful organic milk, or I use coconut milk, and I have a culture that I use, and fermenting it for 24 hours is great for people that have issues with lactose, because the bacteria, if you're using dairy milk, the bacteria consume all of that lactose, and it means that it's a lot more easily digested than, say, a yogurt that's only fermented for a few hours, which is pretty common for the commercial yogurts.
Now, I'm glad you talked about making your own yogurt, because another claim to fame, you've got lots, is that Rebecca Coombs here is the author of the world's first cookbook for people being treated with small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. That's called, is it SIBO? Is that how you say, S-I-B-O?
Yeah, it really depends. People call it SIBO, SIBO, and S-I-B-O. I don't mind how you call it as long as you know about it.
Okay, now, What led you down this path? Let's go back a little bit to take us to where you are now.
So right from the start, I have had challenges with my health. I was born 2 months premature, pumped full of antibiotics, given cow's milk because the doctors in their wisdom in the late 70s thought that breast milk would not be beneficial for a premature baby. How wrong they were.
Yeah.
And so I've suffered from, you know, a lot of digestive complaints over the years, with many doctors saying that I had irritable bowel syndrome with no known cure or any real treatment. Fast forward to 2.5 years ago, and I've stumbled across a naturopath, and I went into her clinic saying, I'm sick of feeling sick.
Mm.
I'm bloated. I can't go to the toilet properly. I feel awful. I'm lethargic. Surely there's something you can do. And she said, I think you might have this condition called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And that is when bacteria that normally lives in our digestive system migrates to the small intestine, where it shouldn't be living in large numbers, and then it eats your food and you don't get it, and it causes bloating, constipation, diarrhea, cramping, food intolerances, heartburn. So all those really classic IBS type symptoms. And once I was diagnosed and then treated with it, they all disappeared. And I realized there were no resources out there for people with SIBO, and there were no recipes. So very quickly, I hit the kitchen and started creating some cookbooks. And I was amazed that I was the first and still the only person in the world doing cookbooks for people with SIBO. And the books are just about to launch in America, is very exciting.
Really exciting. So I just want to go back a little bit, because you and I met quite a long time ago pre this, and you were in quite senior marketing roles in corporate Australia, and then you left that, didn't you? And you've still got Coombs Marketing, you still run your own marketing consultancy, but you left all that behind, the corporate world behind, to start this business. And did you have a vision of where you wanted it to go, or did you just sort of, I'll just see how it goes and make it up as I went along? What was your thoughts?
My vision has been the same since day one, and that is that I am passionate about helping people regain their health and vitality to live the lives that they know that they should be living. And I'm able to do that. So initially it was by starting with the cookbooks, because that was a very easy thing to, you know, to help people with how to eat, because you do need to go on to a semi-restricted diet when you treat SIBO. But I realized as the cookbooks got released that people needed additional help, and so that's how I started to build out my product ecosystem. But everything I do is I always ask the question, am I helping people to live a better life? Am I helping them to regain their health and vitality? If the answer is maybe, then I know that that's not the right product to focus on. If the answer is a resounding yes, then I'll throw myself into developing that new product. And having my marketing expertise and skills has been very beneficial.
Okay, I thought that would be good to know. Now, you've launched them in Australia. What made you go to the US?
Well, I after the cookbooks, I launched a podcast, and which has given me incredible data on who is listening to me and who needs help. 60% of all of my traffic from my website, my social media, and my podcast is coming from the US, and some of the world's top specialists on SIBO reside there. So I was able to very easily form some great partnerships with doctors and businesses over there, and it was just a natural progression to go to America. In Australia, 4 million Australians are estimated to have SIBO. In the US, 100 million Americans are expected to have it, or anticipated to have it. So when I think about, you know, return on my investment and where there's going to be bigger bang for my buck in terms of helping more people to be well, the US is where it's at.
I just want to go back to a point earlier for those listening who are thinking about starting their own business or are running their own business. Rebecca just gave us a little clue into her marketing background, is that she measured. She tracked to see where her customers were coming from, and that was the reason why you went to America. I know you did that without even thinking about it, but for lots of people who don't have a marketing background, that's a really good tip to actually where to put your resources and energy. Did you start this business with a budget, or how did you, like, from a financial perspective, because that's quite tricky at the beginning, how did you manage that?
It is tricky, and I was running a marketing consultancy at the time that I was trying to set this up, and this business has required a huge amount of capital investment, because to print two books is expensive. There's a lot of money, hard money you need. I have realized through this process that I'm quite a skilled negotiator, and I'm brilliant at developing partnerships. So I have developed partnerships whereby people have either donated their services for free because I've convinced them that the cause is so important, or they're contributing financially. But I have had to put my hand in my own pocket, and I've definitely invested pretty much all of my savings into this business, and it's now starting to pay dividends. So it's been a challenging time, and also winding down a marketing business, which was being, you know, which is a great little business. I was, you know, earning a nice income, and I had some great clients, and winding that down and then flipping it and putting it into this business has been challenging at times, just to run two completely separate businesses.
That's wonderful. And I want to talk about the use of social media, because I know that that's been a key part of your promotional strategy. But I want to do that on the other side of this break, because I want to get everyone involved in this discussion about how to use social media and some tips on that. Will you hang around for the rest of the show?
I'd love to.
I've got a good feeling in my gut. See, that gut feeling's true, isn't it?
It really is.
It's got a brain. It really is true. So we're going to follow our gut, and we're going to continue this fascinating conversation on the other side of this break. You're listening to Taking Care of Business exclusively here on RPPFM. Baby, 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 oh, you're listening to Taking Care of Business here on RPPFM as we talk about doing business in heels. And I have in the studio here the couple of business in heels gurus, Lisa Sweeney and Joe Plummer. I suppose it makes sense that there's two of you because there's 2 feet. I just thought of that then. Another pun.
Which one are you?
Yeah, left or right? I suppose. Yeah, I'll leave that with you two to sort out. And also, I'm joined here by the fabulous Rebecca Coombs from Your Gut Health. Now, our next guest, and the reason why we played that baby song from Justin Bieber, I promised that I'd never play a Justin Bieber song, but I couldn't think of any song more appropriate than that one. So, our next guest. Now, let me put this to you. Would you give up a high-flying, globe-trotting corporate career and go back to school? Big question mark. Sell your home and plough your earnings from its sale, almost $500,000 Australian, to invest in your business of creating toiletries for babies and children. Our next guest has done that, and that was 9 years ago. She's now in over 800 stores nationally and exports to over 10 countries across Southeast Asia, New Zealand, and the Middle East. She's the creator and innovative force behind Little Innocence, an exclusive baby care range that is certified organic. Oh, I like the health theme on this show. I'd like to have a very warm welcome to Antoinette Golokitis. Hello.
Hi, Jackie.
Did I get Golokitis?
You did a great job.
I did. I got it right. I've been practicing, and it's exactly how it's spelt. It's really good to have you here. Congratulations on the success of Little Inner Sense, and I like that Inner Sense and why I focused on that. It's SC as in smelling.
Yeah, definitely. We like that pun as well, like you mentioned
before. I love puns.
It's all about trying to entice your consumer, and you know, children are so innocent. They're they're so nurturing and innocent. So we wanted to put a bit of a twist on what the range is about, which is all about aromatherapy and smells and good quality natural ingredients that go into making something really good for the skin.
We were talking to Rebecca Coombs, who was sitting next to you just before the break, and her humble beginnings of how she started her business. And it's not dissimilar to yours in a way, but I know you began cooking up a storm in your kitchen, making potions and lotions. And then you've conquering the world. Tell us a little bit about how that happened.
Well, Jackie, for me, it was frustration. I had my first child, Alex, who's now 12, and I was really, really frustrated with what was on the market. There was limited natural products. There were a lot of companies who were greenwashing and telling us that there were, you know, natural ingredients in their brands, but when you would look at the back of the bottle, you would see that they weren't natural. And I could physically see that on my child, when I would bathe him, he would just come out in rashes. So I thought, I've got to do something about this. And it wasn't until, well, I'd started making up creams in my kitchen and I was making them for my own family, but it wasn't until I got a phone call one day from a lady in Queensland with a three-year-old little girl who had severe eczema. And somebody had passed on some of the cream that I was making and given it to her. And she called me and said, look, I need to buy this cream. My daughter's eczema's gone in 3 days. It's worked fabulous. Where can I buy it? And I said to her, look, I don't actually sell any creams, but I'll make you up a little batch and I'll send it off to you. But that lady just resonated in my mind, and all night I was thinking of her. So I woke up the next morning and I said to my husband, I said, look, I need to do something for other people. I need to create a skincare range where they will see the benefits as I have. And not everyone has had that that background that I was able to have in natural health, to be able to provide a natural organic product.
So tell us a little about your background.
Well, Jackie, I actually, funny story, I went through midlife crisis quite early at 27. I was in the corporate industry. I worked in the telecommunication industry for a while. And I woke up one day and thought, this is not me. I felt like I'd just got into where I could go and I wasn't passionate about what I was doing. So I decided to walk out the door. I took my box. My husband thought I was crazy. Took my box, left work, and the week later I had enrolled in a diploma of health science. So I was always very interested in natural products. I grew up on a farm. We grew a lot of our own vegetables and we made a lot of our own pickled products and sauces and sausages. So for me, it was very natural to go and progress into a natural kind of environment. So I did a course, completed a diploma. I became a remedial massage therapist and I would spruik creams to everyone I possibly could within my corporate background that I was de-stressing a lot of these companies. And as I said, from that moment, I had my child, couldn't find anything on the market. So I decided that...
Do it yourself.
There was a need for it.
Now, I noticed that you've got organic certification and that's important to actually be officially organic because you mentioned greenwashing and I should just explain what greenwashing is for those that don't know. It's when they're misleading claims that they're actually sustainable or good for the environment when they're actually not. So they've sort of twisted the truth a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So that's exactly right.
So this certified organic, was that hard to get?
It was. It was quite difficult. And I guess when I started, and as most business people do start a business, they're a little bit naive. We just don't quite realise how difficult things are going to be. But we get this idea in our minds and think, well, it's a great idea. Everyone's going to think this is a great idea. So let's just push on with it. So when I had that call from that lovely lady in Queensland and I decided I was going to start a skincare range, I spent 10 months formulating in my kitchen, making sure everything was trialed and tested and, available to be able to be sold to consumers. And then I thought, well, everything in these products are food-based. They're all certified organic. You could eat them. They may not taste lovely, but you could eat them and they're not going to endanger you at all. Mm. So at this time, I was quite heavily pregnant with my second child, jumped on a plane to Adelaide and went to the certifying body, the oldest practicing certifying body, NASA at the time, and said to them, I want to be certified. And they looked at me a bit dumbfounded and thought, where is this going? We've been certifying food for 30 years, but we have not done it for skincare and in particular for babies. And I looked at them and I said, why not? So a bit like Rebecca, I was very passionate and I guess I really, wanted to instill on them the ethos that I thought was what I wanted as a brand. And I said, I'm not leaving here until you certify me. So they looked around the room and said, yes, okay, let's do it.
So have you started a movement? Are other products now in the marketplace for babies that are certified organic?
Yeah, look, there are a few coming on board. I think I definitely was ahead of my time 10 years ago. Mm. People thought I was a little bit crazy and they didn't quite understand what organic meant and they thought you had to be a tree-hugging hippie to be
into... It's moved into the mainstream now.
That's right.
For sure.
And one of my key points when I started the business is that I wanted certified organic products for mainstream consumers. So something that they could afford, something that was normal, and something that they could get anywhere they went, not just in a health food store. So right from the start, it was really important for me to push our brand as much as I could in mainstream and to educate people. So it was very tricky and it still is to today. There are so many companies who just can't adhere to organic certification because they either want to make a cheaper product or they really don't quite understand that there are so many synthetic and chemical-based ingredients out there in consumer products.
So anyone listening wants to find out a bit more about Little Innocence, where should they go to? Your website?
Yes, you can certainly head over to our website. We have a large social media following as well, so Facebook, Instagram, you can Google us and you'll be able to find lots of information and lots of articles, because I'm big on educating consumers. Yeah. I think that's the key.
Yeah, I went on your website, Little Innocence, and there's plenty of information there. So anyone interested can go there and have a look at it. And will you hang around for the next part of the show? We're going to get into a panel discussion. I want to talk about doing business worldwide. So I know that you've now are global. I know Rebecca Coombs is global, and Business in Heels is certainly global. So I want to touch on that. And also using social media. We're talking about Business in Heels, and women are particularly good at social media. So I want to actually talk about that, some tips, tricks, trends for our listeners to learn from. So Antoinette, will you hang around?
I certainly will. Looking forward to it.
I can't wait. You're listening to Taking Care of Business. We'll be right back after this.
You know, I love RPPFM, particularly Taking Care of Business, because it makes my business awesome.
Welcome back to Taking Care of Business. We are stepping up. That was Samantha Jade. That was an apt name of a song. And I'm sitting here with a wonderful studio full of some fascinating women who do business in heels. And we have the dynamic duo from Business in Heels themselves, Jo Plummer and Lisa Sweeney. I also have Rebecca Coombs from The Healthy Gut joining us, and also Antoinette Golakidis from Little Innocence. And we're going to talk about, just not before we had that break, we were talking about growing your business. And I noticed that all of you have a global presence. And Antoinette from Little Innocence, you started your business in your kitchen. Now you're all over the world. Was that difficult?
Yes and no. We actually sell at least 70% of our market is overseas now. And the reason for that is because we're Australian made, Australian grown, and it's becoming really popular with international consumers who want a safe, clean product. So at first it was a bit daunting, thinking, oh my God, how am I going to do this? How am I going to supply? I don't know what the demand is. So I just wanted to make mention that it actually isn't as difficult as what a lot of people originally think. And I think once you get over your fear, you get your people inquiring, you just need to follow up with those inquiries and see where they lead, because there are some great resources out there with Austrade, local council, government, who can assist in certain aspects of your business, but also just having that confidence yourself to go with what's happening and to just, you know, go with the flow.
Follow your gut.
And follow your gut.
Yes.
And step up.
And step up and follow your gut. Exactly. That leads me nicely. Rebecca Coombs from The Healthy Gut. Now, you're about to – well, actually, I say about to. You are taking the US by storm. It's obviously a gap. There's no one over there really doing what you're doing, is there?
No, there's no one in the world doing what I'm doing. And I offer this complete patient support system whereby as soon as you're diagnosed with SIBO, or if you believe you even may have SIBO, my platform is where you can come and learn more about it. I've got the Healthy Gut podcast where I interview all of the world's top gut health and SIBO specialists. I educate people. I also have a coaching program. So one of the challenges for people is that when they get diagnosed that they go, oh my gosh, how am I going to live now? And I hand hold them through that process. But interestingly, when we talk about expansion overseas, the first thing I did was I jumped on a plane and I attended a conference in the States, which was on SIBO, and I trusted my gut. I knew nobody there, and it was really just me testing the waters. And it was me attending that conference with, I packed my suitcase full of my cookbooks and a bunch of business cards. And I went out there and I thought, all that can happen is people will say, no, I'm not interested. Instead, what has happened is I've built incredible partnerships with American-based practitioners, and it opened up doors that I could not imagine. And so today, that's why now, you know, I'm developing this quite large presence in the US, which is exciting. So, you know, I do think that sometimes we've just got to trust ourselves, trust our gut instincts and go for it, because the worst that can happen is someone will say no.
And we'll see her on Ellen soon, I'm sure.
That's the goal.
Is it really?
Yep, that is on my vision board, and I've told the universe that I'm appearing on Ellen.
What else is on your vision board?
Dr. Oz and the doctors, yeah. and that I will be the go-to person for all things SIBO and gut health globally. That's what I'm going for.
I love that. That's good, isn't it? Business in Heels. I know you had a big vision. We talked about globally. It's about scalability. Is that important for the growth of your business?
Absolutely. And it's people like you that we absolutely want to help achieve their dreams. So, you know, we've got this fantastic community and collaborative sort of network that we can help you get your message out there. But I guess the thing is with scalability that, you know, often people are an expert in what they do and they have this wonderful knowledge, but what they don't have are the people around knowing that they're the expert. So what Business in Heels does is to help people get that key message out to lots and lots of people to get you known, because that's really important. It can't be just dependent on you and, you know, you doing the work. You absolutely have to be able to get out there and amplify your message.
Yeah, so amplify the message. We talked about social media before the break, and women particularly do that quite well. How important, Rebecca Coombs, has social media been for you in promoting your business?
It's been everything. It's how I've developed my community of people, and I now have this incredibly passionate and loyal group of followers, and I don't need to have millions of people at this stage because it's still quite grassroots, but everybody that follows me really, really trusts my brand because I'm very transparent. If I say I believe in something, it's because I've personally tested it myself and I've lived and breathed the experience of SIBO, so I know firsthand what it feels like to experience all of those digestive problems. And it's how I have kind of, I ask my community to help get me to new places. So they then promote me to their doctors, their practitioners. And it's, you know, it's a two-way street. They help me as much as I help them.
And being on a show like this and then getting the podcast and utilising that, and you've got your own podcast as well.
I have my own podcast
as
well.
You see, it helps that she's got a marketing background, but it's a really inspiring and useful tips for those who are listening who have got their own business or thinking of starting their own business. Antoinette, how important has social media been for your growth of Little Innocence?
Well, like Rebecca said, it's really growing your community. And I think in this day and age, people want choice. And long gone are we a generation where we would just listen to what is on mainstream media or on commercials with the large corporations preaching and their brands and so forth. So what social media allows us to do is to capture people who are interested in what you're doing and to build on that community so that they are informed and they feel like they're making choices. And I think that is the best way to market to people when they feel like they're in control. So Facebook, Instagram, all sorts of social media, even things like LinkedIn and connecting with other business people allows you to maintain that growth of your business within the realm of where you are.
Yeah, it's important. As our attention spans are shrinking, it's important to get that cut through and stand out. And I know Lisa and Joe in Business in Heels, it's something you've been working on with your members. You've been doing quite a bit of work in video marketing.
Yeah, and look, authenticity, I think today is where social media is so different to mainstream media, and it allows people to really be themselves. And other people want to engage with you, whether you make a mistake or you share something silly you've done or it's just something funny. You know, it's what allows people to really connect with you and build those relationships. And we're seeing video marketing, and to a lesser extent but equally powerful, the podcast is making a huge difference because people can listen to podcasts in their car. But when people also watch videos, they get a real sense of you. And it's like, I think it was 12 million words worth equivalent, a short video, compared to what it is if you write a post. And so people are absorbing so much more information and they connect with you so much better. So it really makes a huge difference if you're out on social media.
Yeah, I think social media is important, but it's understanding which parts of social media. I mean, Facebook's still number one, but Instagram's growing really, really, really fast, a bit like the bacteria in your gut, Rebecca Coombs. Now, tell me, what do you wish you'd known before, right now? Though someone had come, when you started this business and someone said, gave you a tip, what do you know now that you'd wish you'd told yourself a couple of years ago?
I wish I'd had more confidence in myself at the beginning. I suffered terribly from the imposter syndrome because I don't have a medical qualification. Mm. And so for months and months and months, I thought, who am I to talk to people about their gut health? And I was looking at going and doing dietetics or going back to study medicine. And then I realized that the power in my own story was the power, and that people wanted to connect with a real person, not some doctor that, you know, in a white coat. And so when I realized that there was power in myself and I got out of my own way, things started to change dramatically. And I wish I had known that at the beginning, because I would have been quicker. I would have, you know, been able to do more and not worried about myself so much.
Yeah, okay. But then the other side of it is that that's part of the journey. It's part of the growth. You wouldn't have come to where you are now without actually having to go through that.
Exactly.
But yeah, hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Antoinette, what's something that you'd wish you'd known if you could go back in time and tell yourself when you started Little Innocence?
I actually think I wish that I'd let more people in and networked more, because I think, like Rebecca sort of said, you lack that confidence, and you do sort of have your doubts as to whether you think other people are generally interested in what you're doing. So it's about letting people in and not being afraid to talk about yourself, to talk about your journey and your storytelling, because that is so important, and other people who are on that same journey want to hear about that. And I think by networking more would have allowed me to perhaps progress a little bit quicker than what I have.
Yeah, well, we have our networking specialists here with Lisa and Joe from Business in Heels, and you get to see a lot of business women. Is that something that you come across regularly when you're talking to other business women about this confidence issue?
For sure. And look, thank you for saying that, Antoinette. It was completely unprompted. It's confidence is the single biggest issue, and it comes in all sorts of different forms, from imposter syndrome through to just having, for some women, getting the courage to actually go to a networking event and actually meeting people. It's quite a range. So it's absolutely that. But I think the thing that we would say is that for people starting out, and what we wish we'd perhaps done a little differently, is to not do it all yourself. Mm. Use the people around you, and I say that in a nice way, of course, to help you, to let people in. People love using their expertise and sharing that to help you achieve. And, you know, probably Lisa's got one of her own, no doubt, that she would like to share.
Oh, well, it's just whatever you think, whatever time you think, whatever resource you think, double it, because usually you're a little bit more optimistic than what reality actually brings you.
Yeah, it's a nice way to finish up the show with those pearls of wisdom. I'd like to thank our special guests, Lisa Sweeney and Joe Plummer from Business in Heels. Great to have you back in the studio again. And those looking at stepping up and standing out, there's a wonderful program that Taking Care of Business is in support of, and working with you in a partnership role to help with that confidence and really helping your members stand out in their business. So if we'll put a link to our Facebook page. So thanks again for coming in.
Pleasure, thank you.
Antoinette Golakidis, I got it.
You did.
Little Innocence, thank you very much for sharing your story. A great inspiration. I don't even need to wish you continued success, because it's a no-brainer. So I look forward to our next encounter and listening to more stories on your journey, on your business journey.
Thank you, Jackie. I had a lot of fun.
That's good fun. It was good having you here. Rebecca Coombs, I always love seeing you, the healthy gut. Good luck in the US.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you on Ellen very soon, and Dr. Oz.
I'm going to be dancing down those aisles, don't you worry.
Yeah, you will be. Absolutely. Look forward to that. And thanks again for coming in the studio. It's been a wonderful show. We hope you've learned something new today, and you'll have to feel inspired. It's been a really great conversation today. Head to our Facebook page for more information. In the meantime, we look forward to your company next Friday at 11 a.m. Keep taking care of your business.